This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
America has plenty of food to feed its hungry, but producing it isn't cheap. And as producer margins are narrow, farm leaders worry the cost of farming could be becoming too much for many small producers. America is the breadbasket of the world, able to feed its own even during a pandemic, plus millions around the globe. But if farmers can't farm, they can't feed anyone, which is a theme Georgia Representative Austin Scott struck at a recent House Ag hearing on food insecurity, as he called for a balanced approach to hunger.
If things like Waters of the U.S., and restrictions on pesticides and other things that we use in the inputs of our food supply chain are restricted and the cost of producing a crop goes up, what would the impact be on the food supply chain?
American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall.
If you increase input costs, I mean, it's going to be extremely hard to continue to help feed the people in our country. You're exactly right. If it costs us more to produce it, it's going to cost the consumer more to buy it.
Duvall stressed the need to streamline regulatory oversight so farmers can use all of the tools available to them. AFB's chief told House Ag lawmakers that small farmers have enough barriers in the way. They don't need more through over-regulation. The Department of Agriculture's latest World Ag Supply and Demand report last week on Tuesday offered little change from February estimates. This month's 2020-21 U.S. corn supply and use outlook is unchanged from February. The projected season average farm price is unchanged at $4.30 a bushel. U.S. soybean supply and use projections for 2020-21 are mostly unchanged for February, with soybean crush and exports projected at 2.2 billion bushel and 2.25 billion bushel, respectively. Ending stocks remain at 120 million bushel, down 405 million from last year's records. The U.S. season average soybean price is projected at $11.15 a bushel, unchanged from February. Although current cash prices are significantly higher, the prices received through January have averaged just over $10 a bushel, reflecting forward pricing at lower prices. The supply and demand outlook for 2020-21 U.S. wheat is mostly unchanged for February, but there are some offsetting by class changes to exports and imports. The season average farm price is unchanged for wheat at $5 a bushel. And a recent run of warm weather here in March isn't unusual. Ryan Martin, an ag meteorologist from Lafayette, Indiana, says it's not unheard of to see a March warm-up.
Oh, no, it's not completely unusual. We've seen temperatures spike well before they should in the past. I guess whether or not this is set apart as not normal will be what happens in the next 2 weeks. Because, you know, if we turn around and we drop these temperatures again, like I feel we will over a large part of the country, then it's just, now, if we were to stay at this level all the way through, that would be incredibly abnormal and would probably raise some red flags after we got all giddy about being able to plant early. But I don't think we're looking at that kind of scenario. I do think that we're looking at a return of cooler air at some point between now and the first week or two of April.
Martin talks about how cold it might get when the warm temperatures finally fall off.
The upper Midwest, Great Lakes, yeah, we could be looking at a significant drop to below normal temperatures. Now, will it rival what we saw in February? No. Why? Well, normals are rising right now. As a matter of fact, as we go through the month of March and the month of April, we usually see a very significant uptick in what our normal temperatures are. So we're not revisiting those frigid temperatures of February, but we can go down significantly below normal, 10, 15 degrees or so, I think, in that upper Midwest, Great Lakes region, maybe even the northern plains for a bit, and then we bounce back.
But the forecast does look different for the southern part of the U.S.
That's a little bit different. It's warmer than normal there, and it looks to me like overall it's going to continue to stay warmer than normal as we move through the upcoming 2-3-4 week period. So central southern plains, particularly southern plains, lower delta areas, we're starting to see some planter movement, some guys interested in doing more field work there. And I think the forecast overall on the temperature side will be conducive. Question is, do we see moisture stymie those efforts or not? I do think we see a pretty active precipitation pattern across the Missouri Valley and into the mid and lower Mississippi Valley.
But there have been legitimate drought concerns in parts of rural America as well.
Farmers, yeah, they're concerned. They've been talking about it since the end of last year. In terms of meteorologically, I am not concerned. As I have run my seasonal forecasts here, I think a large part of the Corn Belt will probably be turning out just fine with precipitation later spring and into early summer. Where I do have concerns about a little bit of a longer-term drought or a droughty scenario unfolding is going to be plains, and particularly southern and southwest plains as we move through the later part of spring and into summer.
And so far, the planting season along the southern part of the United States is beginning to pick up just a bit.
It's starting to pick up. We have to quantify by what we mean down south. The places that we're seeing the biggest action are way south, and we'll start to see this action pick up more and more as we move farther north with regard to planting. Now, I'm seeing a lot of fertilizer application in non-south areas. We're even getting some field work in central and eastern Corn Belt locations. Why? Because it's dry and it's been warm. So field work is one thing, but we're still a little ways off in a lot of these areas with any kind of thought of throwing seed in the ground.
And again, that was Ryan Martin, an ag meteorologist from Lafayette, Indiana. And another ag news now from around the world here on your Monday. The U.S. International Trade Commission says phosphate fertilizer imports from Morocco and Russia have affected the U.S. fertilizer market. The ITC also says it will place a countervailing duty on the imports from those countries. U.S. commodity groups have warned that new duties on imported phosphate fertilizer would raise the price by more than $80 a ton. A DTN report says the ITC voted 4-1 in favor of the countervailing duties. The ruling comes a month after the Department of Commerce recommended the tariffs get placed on phosphorus fertilizer imports. Mosaic filed petitions last year to request the start of a countervailing duty investigation. The company said foreign subsidies on imports are unfair and that these duties would restore competitiveness in the U.S. market. Today's decision upholds our belief that fair trade is the bedrock of a healthy U.S. economy and that American farmers will still benefit from having more competitive American fertilizer industries, says Mosaic in a news release. Moroccan importer OCP says in a news release that it has disagreed with the ruling and will cooperate with U.S. authorities. And the warmer than normal weather here recently across Illinois has many farmers itching to get into the field and get some work done. But they aren't the only ones. Gardeners also are chomping at the bit to get out and get to work. Nancy Kreef is an extension educator in horticulture with the University of Illinois. She says we probably aren't quite ready to go just yet.
Oh, I say we still have a 2 to 3 weeks. It really depends where you're at. So what you'll want to do is look for your local frost-free date. And so you can look at the National Weather Service or your local weather service to determine when they're predicting the last frost. And so for our cool season crop varieties, things like lettuce and root crops, you could plant those 4 to 6 weeks before that frost-free date.
She says the early season garden crops can be put in the ground as soon as you can work the soil.
Exactly. The hardiest of all crops are going to be your broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale, kohlrabi, leek, onion, pea, rutabaga, spinach, and turnip. So as soon as you could get out there and work the soil, then those could be planted. They're really tough plants.
It's worth waiting at least a couple weeks after the predicted frost-free date to make sure the less than hardy garden crops won't get caught by a surprise frost.
I mean, you always want to give yourself a little bit of wiggle room in case there happens to be a late frost. So we're predicting there's not going to be a frost, but you never know with the weather. So usually I might give it another week or so to plant the warm season stuff like tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers. They're not going to tolerate any kind of frost. They're very tender. And so you wait until things look good in the clear. And after waiting a week or two after that is not going to hurt because you'll still have plenty of time in the growing season to get a good crop.
Kreef says a category of garden produce she calls half-hardy crops can get planted more than one time in a year.
So those are the vegetables that are going to fall between the hardy and your tender vegetables. So half-hardy vegetable list includes a lot of your root crops, beets, carrots, potato, and then you could get in cauliflower, Chinese cabbage, leaf lettuce, mustard greens, parsnip, Swiss chard, and also another root crop would be radish. And so those you could plant 2 to 3 weeks before that frost-free date in your area.
Half-hardy crops like carrots, lettuce, beets, and cauliflower can typically be planted between late March and early May, and many of them can be planted again from mid-July to early September. Again, Nancy Kreith is with the University of Illinois Extension Service. Moving on now to local ag news on a Monday, Montgomery County farmers are taking advantage of the new Illinois Department of Agriculture program called Fall Covers for Spring Savings. Established in 2020, the Fall Covers for Spring Savings rewards farmers who plant cover crops for the IDOA program, and they'll receive a $5 per acre discount on their federal crop insurance. The IDOA program is limited to the first 50,000 acres enrolled. It's the second year of the program, and Montgomery County farmers reported 9,427 acres, or 5% of the Illinois total of 185,050 acres statewide. The Montgomery County acreage was the most acres applied for of any of the 86 reporting counties in the state. Montgomery County ended up having 1,317 acres accepted into the program. This acreage represents 2.5% of the 50,000 acres accepted statewide for the $5 savings per acre. The Fall Covers for Spring Savings is patterned after an Iowa Department of Agriculture program established in 2019 of 1 million acres. Chris Reynolds, local Roundtree Township farmer and Midwest Regional Director of the American Farmland Trust, championed the initiative and moved the legislation through the Illinois General Assembly. The Fall Covers for Spring Savings program accomplishes a great deal towards conservation here in Illinois by reducing soil and water erosion and wind erosion, especially in the spring. In addition, the program reduces the amount of fertilizer nutrients leaving the farm field, thus improving water quality. These facts are especially important for our local drinking water out of our lakes and reservoirs here in Montgomery County. If you take a drive around rural Montgomery County and you see green fields in the early spring, these are either fields of winter wheat coming out of dormancy or fields of cover crop. Take time to thank the farmers of these fields as they're protecting two of our most valuable resources here in Illinois, our farmland and the water we drink. If you like what Montgomery County conservation farmers are doing with Fall Covers for Spring Savings, contact your local legislator and ask them to continue funding of this outstanding initiative. In other local ag news, this time from Macoupin County, don't forget the Macoupin County Ag Education Foundation is still offering those scholarships for the upcoming school year. Applicants must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is currently attending an Illinois junior college, university, or career technical education program and is majoring in agriculture. Applications are available through a high school guidance counselor in Macoupin County or a high school ag instructor, or from the Macoupin County Farm Bureau directly. An electronic copy of the application can be requested through email at mcfb@frontiernet.net, and all applications must be submitted to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by March 26th. That's a week from this coming Friday. Any and all questions can be directed to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office in Carlinville at 854-2571. And in other ag news, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau will be holding a household hazardous waste collection. That'll be coming up a week from this coming Saturday, the 27th, at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler from 8 until 3 that Saturday. Acceptable wastes are oil-based paint and paint thinners, aerosol paints and cleaning products, insecticides, herbicides, pesticides, mercury, old gasoline, antifreeze, used motor oils, fluorescent light bulbs, old and expired medicines, and household batteries. Things that will not be accepted include explosives like fireworks or ammunitions, fire extinguishers, farm oil and ag chemicals, propane tanks, smoke detectors, lead batteries, and other similar controlled substances. Latex paints are also considered non-hazardous, but they will not be accepted at this event. Latex paint can be safely dried and discarded with regular trash if you have any to discard. For any further questions about the upcoming household hazardous waste collection, which will be on Saturday, March 27th at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds Butler, contact the Montgomery County Farm Bureau in Hillsboro at 532-6171. And that'll wrap up your ag news here on a Monday morning, but remember you can always send us your ag news by an email at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. So again, for this Monday morning, March 15th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.